listening to nativetalk.net. Audio files are available online at nativetalk.net. Bouncing 1.21 gigawatts of radio goodness off the newly repaired Hubble Space Telescope. Whoops. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon, listen. Lots. There are people in China with poor reception. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today on the NativeTalk.net radio program. The email, if you want to be a part of the show, is podcast@NativeTalk.net, where you can always make comments, or you can use the Facebook page as well. Our phone lines are open if you want to call and leave us a voice message to be replayed here on the show. That number is 970-278-5791. Now, before we get started, I want you to think about something, all right? This is what's going to be coming up in the second segment. But everybody hears about Native American stereotypes and stuff that people believe that just aren't true. So in the meantime, until we get there, I want you to think about what, in your opinion, are the most harmful or most misunderstood things about Native Americans. And we'll go over that in the second segment. But before we get to that, I wanted to do a health pile.
Captain, stay well. We have a problem.
Every time a cough or sneeze, there are germs that come out of me. There is something I've found, so I don't spread germs all around. Germ attack,
germ attack,
I must fight back,
I must fight back,
germ, 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 germ attack.
That's right. Health pile is just a collection of stories that have to do with general health, and health is an important thing pretty much any time of the year. So how do you stay healthy? For example, a big problem in this country today is blood sugar control. So how do you keep it under control? Well, it turns out that people who ate 1.5 large mangoes every day, mangoes, I love mangoes. I could probably eat 4 or 5 mangoes every day. The same with plums. I love plums. Well, people who ate at least 1.5 large mangoes had better blood sugar control. They had higher circulating levels of anti-inflammatory compounds, and they had significant drops in blood pressure. This is from a study at Texas A&M University. Other research at Oklahoma State University has discovered that a mango shake with your breakfast helps offset the negative effects of a fatty meal. Yeah, but who has time to make a mango shake? I mean, unless you're going to drive to Jamba Juice every morning, that is probably not going to happen. But the nice thing is that tropical fruit is high in fiber and vitamin C, plus your gut microbiome breaks down the phytochemicals into beneficial elements, says study author Suzanne Talcott. So whether you're enjoying them in smoothies or just cut them up all year round in one of the 6 varieties, something is always in season. So mangoes, good for you. Now, what about caffeine? I mean, people are pretty much addicted to that stuff. I don't really mind caffeine. For me, it's the coffee. I mean, people can't almost do anything in the morning without coffee. My father's one of them, and he's one of the main reasons why I don't like coffee. Because I remember one morning, I was, maybe 14 or 15, and I was still sleepy in the morning. And my dad told me, just grab a cup of coffee. The thing is, he likes it so strong, it's ridiculous. So I drank this stuff, and I felt like I was drinking bitter root water. It was horrible. And it almost turned me off to coffee for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so. But you might have wondered how much caffeine is too much. The short answer is 400 milligrams of caffeine per day is safe for most people, which is the equivalent of about 4 cups of coffee. Yeah, my dad drinks about 3 times that much. Emergency room physician Robert Glatter told USA Today that the effects of caffeine do vary from person to person. So for some people, 250 milligrams, about 2.5 cups of coffee, might be enough to actually experience caffeine intoxication. But most of us need about 500 milligrams of caffeine to feel such symptoms. Caffeine intoxication? I've never even heard of this before. But apparently it includes heart palpitations, dizziness, elevated blood pressure. How do you know if you have elevated blood pressure? I mean, who tests that stuff if you're not at the doctor's office? This is a shocker. People who drink caffeine have insomnia, muscle tremors, frequent urination, nervousness, anxiety, restlessness, diarrhea, or an upset stomach. So if you've got any of those, you might have had too much caffeine. Some people even have rambling thoughts or confused. Those people are drunk and they're just lying to you. No, I had too much caffeine. But no matter how much you drink, coffee, not alcohol, it's not likely to result in death. So when it comes to caffeine, you probably shouldn't let children consume beverages with caffeine. What, like Coca-Cola? Right, try keeping that away from your kids. Well, I mean, I know there's plenty of folks out there who don't let their kids drink soda. But if you're letting your kids drink soda, what, root beer but not Coke? That's ridiculous. You shouldn't mix caffeine. Oh, yeah, right. Don't mix caffeine with alcohol because it can lead to higher levels of alcohol consumption. I think that's just a result of drinking alcohol. It makes you feel good. You want another one. I'm not sure that actually has anything to do with caffeine. You should obviously read prescription medication labels and warnings carefully, as some medicines may interact with caffeine. Yeah, right. Like anybody is reading the warning labels on their medications. I barely look at the warning labels on my ibuprofen, let alone my prescriptions. I just try to remember what my doctor told me and just go from there. And of course, you shouldn't use caffeine as a substitute for sleep, although sometimes that's not really an option, is it? If you're driving, let's say, across the country and you're falling asleep, but you need to be there by a certain time, I'm probably going to be taking one of those caffeine pills. So I don't know how helpful that's going to be, but, hopefully you don't overdose on caffeine, apparently. Now, pretty much any time of the year, people who I'm friends with, especially if it's a woman, they're trying to cut calories, they're trying to eat less, they're trying to lose weight, and so their first go-to thing is to skip meals. You know, if you don't eat, you don't get the calories, and you're going to lose weight, right? Well, if that's what you think, you should think again. Because as it turns out, the Ohio State University in Columbus did a study wherein they found that skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight in your abdominal region. That's your stomach, for those of you in Rio Linda. How? I mean, if you skip the meals, you're not getting the calories. How can that possibly result in weight gain? Well, when you skip breakfast or work through lunch, basically it sets off a series of metabolic miscues, which can lead to insulin resistance in your liver, which is a telltale sign of prediabetes. And when your liver doesn't respond to insulin signals telling it to stop producing glucose, basically you have any extra sugar you have, like maybe you drink, a diet soda or, have a thing of candy or something like that, the extra sugar in your blood is stored as fat. So skipping meals can actually make you gain weight. All right, last story. Everybody wants to be in a good relationship, right? I mean, nobody wants to be alone or lonely. Even if you've got good friends, you want somebody to share your time and possibly share your life with. So if you're a woman and you're trying to lure Mr. Right on an internet matchmaking site with a photo, heed this advice. You want to post one where you're looking silly instead of glamorous or sexy. This is the suggestion of the online matching service OkCupid.com. What they have found in their research is that photos showing a girl doing something unusual, like making a silly face or playing a violin, are 40% more likely to get responses. Now, your second best pose is a woman who's hanging out with a dog, a bird, or other pet. You know, everybody likes pets. And they say, hey, if the pet can hang out with her, maybe I can too. Next most effective, showing her having fun with friends, like romping on a beach or playing a game, followed by one of the subjects just sipping a drink. So why are pictures like this better at getting responses? Well, according to OkCupid, they say that your picture, the one that you post that's meant to attract people, you want it to actually show off your personality, not have like a best of album, you know? You want to kind of show who you are in these photos and make it easier for someone to break the ice. For example, if I see somebody playing a fiddle, I might ask them if they've ever hung out with Charlie Daniels or something. I don't know. But if you're having fun, it like gives people more of a reason to talk with you and gives them something to comment on. So don't just be all glamorous and sexy. While that's not, you know, a bad thing, if you really want to get responses, go with fun rather than, you know, just staring at the camera like I'm like trying to be a model or something. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a moment with more stimulating Native Talk Radio. So stay right here at nativetalk.net.
Always remember, animals are your friends, but they still won't pick you up at the airport.
The nativetalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1444. Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or Heart. If your radio sounds funny, it must be the NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
All right, welcome back to the program. The message line, if you want to call in, drop us a line, 970-278-5791. Don't forget to visit us online at NativeTalk.net where you can download any of our past shows. Now, have you ever done one of these, like, polar bear plunges? That's, like, basically in the wintertime where you go out there and you jump into freezing cold water. So it's cold outside, plus the water's freezing, and it's, like, to benefit some charity or something. So what's going to happen? Yeah, shrinkage. That's what's going to happen. Now, Scott Carney, who's an environmental conditioning expert and the author of What Doesn't Kill Us, says if you're ever going to do something like this, prepare at home with showers that end with 30 seconds of cold water. Now, when you get there, you got to shed your layers well beforehand to let your skin cool down. Because if you're hot, no, look, I haven't really done anything for charity like this, but I do have some experience with freezing cold water. Now, I spent a couple of years out in Russia, and the experience that I've had is they have something called a banya. Now, what a banya is, if you imagine like a sauna at the gym, for example, except way, way hotter, all right? So this thing is built out of wood. It's this beautiful wood inside, and they've got, I've seen real banyas where they build a fire in this metal box, and they stick the wood and the coals and all that stuff. And it's accessible from outside the banya. So they get this thing just blazing hot. Now on the inside, there's like the top of the box, so it's heating up these rocks, and they literally pour water on top of these rocks to create this really intense hot steam. All right, and you sit in there, and it gets, I don't know, 105, 110 degrees. I mean, just really hot. And you sit in here for maybe 10, 15 minutes, just as hot as you can stand. And they even get these, like, bunches of sticks and kind of beat you from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. And you're completely without clothes. You're completely naked, all right? And it's just kind of, you know, hey, au naturel. Everybody's doing it, so you kind of join in. And just when you cannot stand it anymore, you run outside and you jump into a huge pile of snow. I mean, they just pour snow all over you. So you go from super hot to super cold, and it's for health. I got to tell you, it was a heck of an experience that I've had myself personally in the middle of Siberia. So it was quite the experience, you guys. So according to Scott Carney, you should let your skin cool down before you jump in. I don't know, guys. You're missing out on the real fun if you do that. And then they say, once you're submerged, try to relax. Now, some banyas that I've experienced, you jump into freezing cold water. So I don't know how easy it is to relax, because my inclination was to, like, clench up. But Carney says after about 30 seconds, the pain should give way to a pleasant endorphin rush. Now, that I can personally attest to. Besides the banya, the closest thing that I've ever done out in the state of California, go up in the mountains and you go hiking, and in the early springtime, you know, as summer starts up, you get all of the snow melt, the runoff from the mountains, and it is freezing cold water. And so after you go hiking and you're hotter than you've ever imagined, and you jump in this water, it feels like the cold is like soaking into your bones. And then you jump out and you sit on a rock while you warm up. And that is actually the preferred way of doing things, to kind of warm yourself up gradually, and consider keeping up with those daily cold showers, because research suggests that cold showers actually helps ease depression, and devotees claim to have improved circulation and less stress. Plus, it all builds character, so next time you have a chance, feel free to give it a try. All right, so the last thing I want to talk about before I go for the week is this new tax plan that's been going around. And I actually got an email that, of course, is the sound of a printed out email, different from a news story. So this printed out email, and this is a news story. So I'm sure you can hear the difference. This is not, of course, a part of regular old boring listener mail, which you can send in to podcast@nativetalk.net. This is from Chris in Tempe, Arizona, and he's asking specifically about this subject. He says, Cliff, I listen to your podcast pretty regularly, and I know you're a conservative Republican because you have mentioned it on the air. So I would like to ask you what you think about this tax bill. Now, I'm a Democrat, of course, so I hate it, just like I hate Trump, but I wanted to know what you think. Now, I've avoided talking about this because for a long time, it's just been a plan. It hasn't been anything really worth talking about. Actually, I got that email about 3 weeks ago, but as it's working its way through Congress now, I thought that this would be a good time to discuss it. Now, of course, I absolutely believe that lower taxes are always a good thing. We work for our money. The government doesn't work for their money. We work for it. And I believe that the government should take the bare minimum that they need from us and provide basic things that the country's founding called them to, things like, you know, national security, taking care of basic utilities. I mean, there is a need for a government. We do need that, and they do need money to work, but I think they go way, 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 way too far. Now, I also know that those days are, they're long gone. And we are pretty much on a fast track to socialism. Now, with that said, this recent tax bill that's working its way through Congress, in my opinion, is a complete disaster. And I don't see how almost anybody in America is going to be helped for it, helped by it, if you're not already part of the top 1%. And if there was any justice left in society, this should be the death knell of the modern day Republican Party. Now, I have always considered myself a Republican, but the party that I see today, I have a hard time seeing myself in it. And as this thing has changed massively over the past few weeks, it looks like, to me, it's changed. I didn't like it before, but it seems like it's only been getting worse and worse. Now, we still don't know, at the time of this recording, what the exact final details are going to be when it actually becomes law, and it looks like it's absolutely going to become law. But what we do know so far borders on horrifying. Let's talk first about trickle-down economics. Now, that's a thing that you guys, I'm sure, have heard before. This is an idea made famous by President Reagan back in the 80s, and the economic boom that he brought back then, and some even say the economic boom pushed that he created pushed into the 90s. Now, trickle-down economics is a theory that if you enhance the ability of people with money, the well-to-do folks, if you let them keep and spend and invest that money, they're going to start buying, you know, more products. They'll go out on vacation more. They'll expand their businesses. And that's going to create jobs and create a rising tide. You know, if they're doing well, we all do well. Now, modern day liberals decry that theory. They don't believe in it. But I believe that when enacted properly, it's something that absolutely works. And it's also something that this new tax bill fails miserably at. Now, if you could find a way, like Reagan did, to let the upper middle class, not the 1%, the upper middle class, if you could let them keep and spend more of their money, I'm telling you guys, the American economy would absolutely explode. There would be jobs and money aplenty. It would be all over the place. Because it's the people in that upper middle class, the ones, well, they're not living to paycheck, from paycheck to paycheck, but they're also not independently wealthy. These are the people who want to travel. These are the people who want to buy more clothes. They want to consume, go out to restaurants. They're also the ones who start small businesses, which by definition creates jobs. I'm not in that category, but if I could, if I had the money, I can tell you exactly what I would do with it. I would buy my own hotel. I run hotels. That's what I do. And it is my dream to have my own and, to build my own and provide jobs. Now, there are thousands of people just like me in this country with ideas and plans, but you just can't quite make it work on paper. I'm a far way off. There's people a lot closer than me. Thousands of them. And these are the people that if you give them a massive tax cut, for them, that would do the trick. But it's, tragically, it's not going to happen. Now, as for the middle classes and the lower classes, remember that already 50% of our population today already pays no income tax to begin with. They take it out of, withholdings out of your check, but you get it back at the end of the year in this refund. So they're not paying any taxes, all right? So if you cut the lower tax rate, it does nothing. It's meaningless, okay? So there are two ways, I believe, there's a few ways that you can help the lower classes. The first is creating jobs, okay? Like I've been talking about. And if you create the jobs, these people are going to be able to, they're going to have basically more opportunity, more ability to get experience, to get promotions and improve their lives, right? So that's one way to help them. The other way is by cutting payroll taxes. Just take less out of their paychecks each week. If you slash these payroll taxes, watch them spend that money immediately, because these are people who are living paycheck to paycheck. Now, this is going to improve both the quality of their lives and the American economy, but that is not going to happen either. Instead, what is happening is our elected officials have created an absolutely massive economic Christmas present for the top 1% of the financially wealthy here in America. Now, look, I don't hate the rich people. I'm not like, people who resent them, all right? I actually want rich people to keep as much of their money as they possibly can, as long as the same rules apply to all of us, because that creates opportunity. And it doesn't happen with this tax bill. I also understand that large governments, big governments, I believe that big intrusive government is just as dangerous as these big businesses if you allow either of them to run the nation. Guess what, folks? We've got both, and they're doing exactly that. They're both running the country, and they're doing it together. So I've been attempting to pay attention to this, and the sales pitch that they're giving us is that we're going to cut the corporate tax rate from a worldwide high of 35% down to, 20%. Well, you know what? That's a good thing. And over time, that will make this country more competitive, and it will keep more American businesses at home. Now, that's a good thing, but what it will not do, okay, is the other thing they say it's going to do, and that's creating jobs. In fact, last year, Forbes did a survey of Fortune 500 CEOs about what they would do with newly found revenue, and the overwhelming response by CEOs was, get this, buy back our own stock. They're going to buy back their own stock. Well, that will create a total of zero jobs. Well, isn't that just wonderful? Now, how do we know this? Because this pathetic attempt at justifying coming out of the White House is that when large corporations have more money, they create more job. No, they don't. Because if that were true, the Obama administration would have created the most jobs in history, which, for the record, it did not. Not even close. That distinction still belongs to Bill Clinton. And Obama isn't even in the top 40. And for those of you counting, we've only had 45 presidents total. Now, during the 8 years of the Obama administration, American corporations did incredibly well. I mean, record profits. They literally had money to burn. And what have they done with it? Absolutely nothing. They have hoarded it, given massive bonuses to their corporate officers, and there is no indication that that's going to be changing moving forward. So when you have this elite class of super wealthy, incredibly successful corporations, in conjunction with a vanishing middle class, these elites, they know that people out there, the regular folks, the people who want to work and do well for their families, they're going to do anything and everything they're asked to do in order to keep their jobs. I mean, why would you hire three people when you've got one person who's willing to work himself literally to death just to save his middle-class job? That is the reality in which we live, and our elected representatives have essentially, with this tax bill, made that the new normal. I mean, just look at the stock market. First of all, the stock market has absolutely nothing to do with the American economy. And ever since Trump has been elected, it has soared. And especially as this tax plan has moved forward, it's boomed, particularly the Dow, which if you look at that, that represents the 30 biggest companies in the country. Huh? I wonder why the 30 biggest companies are so happy about this tax plan. And, of course, no tax plan would be complete without leaving Indian country completely out in the cold, because this current bill that's up for approval, again, they're still in the reconciliation process trying to combine the Senate bill with the House plan. But since neither plan really includes anything for tribal governments, I don't think it takes a genius to figure out exactly where this is heading. And it's not like the tribes are asking for a whole lot either. The tribal governments, what they're asking for is nothing more than the same thing that other government entities are already getting. And they've been getting it forever, by the way. As things stand now, tribal governments are the only ones, the only governments that are limited to using tax-exempt bond financing for essential government functions. Now, everybody else, whether we're talking about state or local governments, they get to use these bonds, these tax-exempt bonds, for whatever they want. Anything they want, development, infrastructure, growth, and the like. But by excluding tribes, it's basically keeping us down and out. We're unable to grow our economy or build our own infrastructure effectively at all. So basically, sorry for all of the boring talk, but what it comes down to is I am in complete agreement for the need of tax reform. Our tax code is horrendously bad. And yet, I'm also completely against this bill. I believe that it is a tragedy, a travesty, that this golden opportunity to do something good is being absolutely wasted on one of the biggest hunks of garbage that I have ever seen in my life. And it completely ignores the most important items that they really should be concentrating on. So, there you go, Chris. That is what I think about the tax plan. So try to drink some of that caffeine and wake up. Sorry I bored you guys, but, you know, it's what's going on in your country. So write your congressman, not that it will do any good. So anyway, that'll do it for us today. As always, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. Phone number if you would like to leave comments, 970-278-5791. And check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/Native Talk Radio. Have a great day, guys. We'll see you next week.
There's nothing funny about getting up early in the morning, except the NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.